There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you going until 4:30 today. That is when pregame starts for the Hawks and the Pacers later on today. The Hawks, obviously, trying to break a 7-game losing streak, and the team that they have to do so against, not exactly an ideal matchup for the Hawks. The Pacers, as of late, 8-2 in their last 10 games, playing some really good basketball and have had a lot of rest. However, most of you are very much interested in the moves that the Hawks could be making between now and next Thursday, and we're going to bring in a guy who is locked in on all of those things, very much lame dad, pun intended, as we're going to bring in Brad Rowland on the WaitFor.com hotline. Brad, of course, Locked On Hawks podcast, as well as you can follow him on social media, at BT Rowland. And Brad, look, we look over the course of what's carried on longer than a week now, the Hawks 7-game losing streak. Biggest reason that you would put on how the Hawks have ended up in this position of so much excitement, it felt like a couple weeks ago, of like, yeah, this team could, you know, maybe go on a fun playoff run, to the doom and gloom that we find ourselves on February 1st?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of injuries and a very ill-timed shooting slump at the same time, when they really couldn't afford that because of the injuries, is what I would say. You know, this team's just not been the same without Jalen Johnson all season long. Before this injury, the numbers showed that. Now that he's been out, the numbers are showing that again. They don't have a replacement for him, naturally. It's not just him either. Like, during this losing streak, they've been without Hunter. They've been without Trae Young for a game. Dyson missed a game. Bogdanović and Capella, we'll talk about in a second, are not around the team right now. They're just not very deep. They're not very, you know, well constructed at this very moment, given what they have available. And then they can't make a shot on top of that. And it becomes kind of difficult, because they really did play very well defensively for at least four or five of these 7 games, to the point where you would expect them to win when they do that. But at the same time, they just weren't able to make shots. So it's a combination of those two things. I think the injuries are probably slightly more important, but the shooting has been pretty brutal as well.
Yeah, Brad, that shooting slump that you talk about, where I can't remember the specifics. I've seen it pop up a time or two, as far as, shooting under 30% felt like the Hawks have been doing as of late. Have you seen anything that has led to that sort of happening? Is it just, hey, teams don't have to worry about as many different guys, and so they're able to focus on the Hawks shooters more, or is it more to that?
That could be part of it for sure. You know, they have a little bit less rim pressure. Like, Jalen Johnson is their best guy at getting all the way to the rim.
Sure.
And being without him, they don't have a lot of guys available on the roster, even for, you know, for all of Trae Young's strengths. He's not someone that's going to get on top of the rim. Like, he's a below-the-rim player. And this is not a team that has a ton of rim pressure anyway, outside of Jalen Johnson. So that's why, you know, this is kind of a different subject. But people, you know, when you miss a lot of threes, I'm sure you've seen this as well, people want to say, all right, we'll stop taking them. And I said, well, you can't really do that in the modern NBA, number one, just from a math standpoint. But number two, they don't really have an alternative. Like, this is a team that right now does not have a lot of guys who can, like, dominate at the rim either.
Yeah.
So, You got to take more of them. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's a combination of the guys who are good shooters, your DeAndre Hunters, your Garrison Matthews, Bogey when he plays, Trey when he plays, all that stuff, are not shooting well. And then they also don't have a lot of shooters. And that combination of those two things is kind of a – it's very simple, but it's also kind of explains it, where, you know, when you're good shooters don't make shots and you don't really have a lot of great shooters, that combination is tough.
All right, Brad, obviously the other big part of news that's come out over the last couple of days – was the All-Star Reserves, where I had tried to warn people. I felt like I knew this was coming. However, ultimately, the names that come out as All-Star Reserves, a couple of them rather surprising to me, as Trae Young not selected as an All-Star Reserve. However, Tyler Hero, Darius Garland, and Damian Lillard are. Now, from your perspective, I want to ask about this element first. You've got a LaMelo Ball, a guy who is obviously voted well by the fans and actually voted up pretty high. I think he was third amongst guards by the players. And, you know, a similar situation with Trae Young, where he was voted pretty decently amongst fans and, you know, and players. And yet, when it comes to the coaches who are making these decisions, they're on the outside looking in, but somehow a guy like Tyler Hero is making it. Like, what sense do you make of all of this when it comes to the All-Star voting?
Yeah, it's really hard because it's such a small sample. Like, coaches are voting. They don't reveal what the coaches' ballots look like.
Which they should.
Right. It's kind of a mysterious process, and, you know, it's a much smaller panel than it is for any of the other. Like, you know, even when the media votes, it's like 100 people voting versus 30 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tinier sample. I, like you, I was not as surprised as I was bothered, if that makes sense. Like, I actually, just to be honest, I thought Trae was going to make it, but I also thought it was not like a, by any means, a lock that he was going to make it because of what's happened before. I mean, this is the third time in 6 years that I think he's been pretty much clearly snubbed and should have been on the All-Star team. And it's kind of silly in some respects, but yeah, maybe it's, you know, you can make arguments all you want to. Team success is one that I've heard, but, like, the Miami Heat are not having some great season. And
one more win than the Hawks do.
and when they voted, I'm not even sure that was the case. And then when the voting
right.
was due, I think the Hawks actually might have had a small edge there. So you can't make that argument, really. I mean, with LaMelo Ball, you could just say Charlotte's a terrible team, and they are. And that's, you know, not always what I would say is the biggest criteria, but at least there's a very simple explanation. Like, the Hornets are bad. He doesn't get credit for that. The Hawks don't have that problem, and Trae is by far their best player. I mean, Jalen's having a great season, but he's been hurt. People know that. I don't know. It's tough, and you don't want to single guys out. I'm glad you said three names instead of one. Like, I think Tyler Hero is the one that I focused on the most, but, you know, Darius Garland's having a great season, but he's like their third or fourth guy.
That's
on the Cavs. Damian Lillard, same thing. So, like, it's
yeah.
a different situation where Trae's asked to do so much, and to not be rewarded for that is frustrating. And I think he's frustrated, too, if you haven't seen what he's been saying in the last day or so.
Yeah. Now, Devin Booker, obviously another player looking on the outside, and not making the All-Star team, he floated out the idea of, hey, we've got a really, you know, we've got a lot of talented players in the NBA. Maybe we should expand All-Star rosters. Is that something you think that the league would even be open to? And do you think it's a good idea at all?
It's one of those things where it's like hard to make the case now because it feels like you're just saying it because your guy didn't make a team.
Sure.
But at the same time, if you look at when the All-Star teams were constructed with 12 players, the league was, I think, 8 teams fewer than it is now. So percentage-wise, like, there are fewer All-Stars than there have ever been compared to the population of the league. And also, NBA rosters are now 15 guys on full contracts, and really 18 if you count two ways, whereas
yeah.
they used to be 12. So that's why they did 12 in the first place. It was the roster was 12, not 15, and really it's kind of 18. I'm not saying you go to 18, but yeah, I think if you wanted to be accurate to history and say, all right, what percentage of these guys are All-Stars, you would make it 15. I would hope Trey would have made it if it was 15. But, you know, somebody's always going to be a snub, and I'm aware of that, even if you expand the rosters.
Sure.
But I think Trey should have also made it in the top 12. So there we are.
Yeah. Talking with Brad Rowland on the waitfor.com hotline. You can find Brad on social media at BT Rowland, as well as subscribe to his podcast, Locked on Hawks. Brad, we're less than a week away from the trade deadline. It feels painfully obvious at this point that the Hawks are trying to move either Bogey Bogdanovich or Clint Capella. You know, given all the rumors that are swirling, you got Phoenix, New Orleans, amongst others. What are your realistic expectations for the Hawks making moves at the trade deadline? And is there a scenario in which you could realistically see both Bogey and Clint leaving this team at the deadline?
Yeah, to start there, I think there is a realistic possibility. One of my bits is that, and I do believe it, is that trades are hard to make. They're a lot harder than fans realize that they are to make. You can't just press a button and send the guy out. I mean, I guess you could if you want to make a bad trade. You know what I mean? But yeah, it does feel like, especially with Bogey, it's a little bit different with Bogey than with Clint, where they're not even listening to injury with Bogey at this point. They're not even trying to hide it. It's like what I would say is it's not a 100% chance that he is traded. It never is. Like, there is a possibility that they just can't find a deal. They go to Bogey and say, all right, come on back and let's play this thing out. But it seems like Bogey is likely to be moved from what I have heard and what's been out there and what's been reported. Clint a little bit less so. But it's also with Capella, he's an expiring contract. Bogey is not, which kind of complicates matters a little bit. Clint, you could just say, all right, we're going to kind of move on here if we want to. Maybe you buy him out, whatever you want to do there, given where the Hawks are. But yeah, they could trade them both. It just depends on what's available to them. And also the Hawks have this conflicting incentive, which I know you've covered too, where they don't have their own pick. So most teams in this situation, you lose Jalen Johnson, you kind of say, all right, guys, we're shutting it down. And the Hawks don't really have any reason to do that. Plus, it helps you to win games, to sell more tickets and try to get in the playoffs, all that stuff too. So there's all this stuff going in different directions, but it does seem like Bogey for sure, and to some extent Capella, are firmly on the block.
In your opinion, Brad, are those the only two names that you would expect to see moved, or do you think anyone outside of that is up for those conversations as well?
I think they are the two most likely, along with Cody Zeller. People just forget exists. I think he certainly would be firmly in the trade candidate realm, just because that's the reason why he's on the team. I'll do the short version. Just say that's the reason why he's still under contract, is that they could trade him in the next few days. The other guy that I would mention, at least, is Larry Nance Jr. I don't think that they were going to trade Capella and Nance, but maybe there's a team that just kind of bowls him over for Nance instead of Capella. He's also an expiring contract. I think it would make sense for some teams to maybe call on him. I'd be surprised if they moved anybody else. You know, people are calling about DeAndre Hunter, I'm sure. The Hawks seem to buy back in on DeAndre. I think a year ago, Hunter was very available in trade, but he's having a good season, and the Hawks, I think, are not trying to trade him anymore. And everybody else is basically either super young and, you know, the core pieces like Ricochet and Daniels and Johnson and Trey, or your guys don't really have a ton of value. So I'm definitely watching Capella and Bogey the most, along with, I guess you want to say, Cody Zeller, but Nance is the wild card for me.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter is the one that you go, I feel like most of the frustrations came with him being injured. And it's like, well, if he's healthy, as he has been for a majority of the season, then leave him where he's at. It feels like things are working out. All right, Brad, last one I'll ask you. Is Indiana a team that the Hawks can break this 7-game losing streak against? I mean, obviously, I mentioned the 8-2 that they have played up to this point. The other thing that I found really odd is, just given their schedule and going to play over in France against the Spurs, this is just their second game that they've played in like a week, and the Hawks are playing their fourth game this week. So, what do you feel likelihood against the Pacers tonight?
It is a tough spot for sure. The optimistic case is the Hawks have played well when they are big underdogs this season. That's been an area where they've actually excelled at times. But the counter case is what you just said, the rest. Indiana is a lot healthier than Atlanta is right now. I mean, even if you want to, it's not necessarily only injury-based, but you're playing without Jalen already, and then you take Capella and Bogey away. That's three of your top eight players that are not playing in this game. It's in Indiana, but I think it's winnable for the Hawks. I would not pick them to win. I think if you go into a game as an 8-point underdog as they are right now, you can't really pick them to win with any conscience, but it's definitely winnable. I don't know, 30%, something like that. It's not a game that you definitely have to lose, and the Hawks have been good in these situations, but they're going to have to shoot better, I'll tell you that.
All right, that is Brad Rowland. Brad, thanks for giving us some of your time on this Saturday. Go follow his social media at BT Rowland, and then subscribe to the podcast, Locked On Hawks. We appreciate it, Brad.
Thanks for having me.